presented by the Treaty One Development Corporation. This is the Treaty One Nation podcast. You're listening to episode 2 called Gigendamowin, which translates to knowledge in Anishinaabe Mowin. And I'm your host, Taylor, coming straight to you from Treaty One territory. Buju Tansi to all of my relatives of the Treaty One Nation and to our distant relatives from all treaty and sovereign nations across Canada. You're listening to the Treaty One Nation podcast, and we sit here and we thank you so much for joining us. It is being presented to you by T1DC, also known as the Treaty One Development Corporation, right here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, on Treaty One Nation. This is episode 2, as I had mentioned, and in this episode, we're going to be taking a deeper look at the Treaty One project, our partners, and so much more. Now, one of the reasons that we called it Gigendamowin, because it translates to knowledge. And why we wanted to call it that is because what we want to do is we want to share some of that knowledge behind Treaty One Development Corporation with you and the future aspirations of what we're planning to do with Kapyong Barracks and so much more. So that's one of the reasons behind the episode title. Let me begin by introducing myself. Ujua Mashkade Bijike Indijnakazgin Gundonem Anishinaabe Aki. So my spirit name is Brown Buffalo. I come from the Fish Clan and I reside in Anishinaabe territory, also known as Broken Head Ojibwe Nation. I am here as part of the communications team of the Treaty One Development Corporation, and I'm very happy to be sitting here with you to introduce you and help you to learn more about what this project represents, what the goals are, what the future planning is, what the master planning is, and how we came to be. So that is what the goal is, especially of this episode, episode 2, where we are going to discuss more about where we came from, what this process has been like, and what we plan to do, or what our future goals are with this project exactly. So to back it up a little bit, back in 2007, the Department of National Defense, DND, which we're not going to refer to it as such, but just so you know, that is what the acronym is. The Department of National Defense received approval from the Government of Canada to sell the property to the Canada Lands Company. And the property to which we're speaking of is, of course, the Kapyong Barracks in Tuxedo, which is in Winnipeg, Canada. In response to this, Treaty One First Nations members mounted a legal challenge, arguing that Canada failed to consult and accommodate the First Nations before selling the land. Following which, the Federal Court of Appeal ruled that Canada failed to properly consult with First Nations before the sale of Kapyong Barracks, which is, of course, what we're talking about right now. And then, on August 30th, 2019, so not even that long ago, as a result of the Federal Court of Appeal ruling that happened earlier, the Treaty One First Nations agreed to a process. So we don't have complete ownership yet, but we agree to a process in which we will obtain the land from Canada. Now, don't be confused, as I said, with the fact that the land may be owned at this time, because that's not the case at this time right now. But we are currently seeking that ownership in a deal to unravel and what is being negotiated at this time, which, of course, all Treaty One members will be a part of when a bigger vote comes to the date, which we'll talk about in a sooner, in a later episode, like closer to March. So who now do I speak of who are these seven First Nations in Treaty One that we were talking about that are sitting at this table? Well, these seven First Nations that are in talks about gaining ownership of this land, they include Broken Head Ojibwe Nation, Long Plain First Nation, Pegwas First Nation, Roseau River First Nation, there's also Saugeen First Nation, Sandy Bay First Nation, and Swan Lake First Nation. But it is not just these seven Indigenous communities that are involved in this planning and these negotiations with Kapyung. Of course, you know that like a large agreement such as this, there needs to be other people sitting at the table, of course. And they found great partners to work in alliance with this. And of course, that is the Canada Lands Company. Bit of background information. The Canada Lands Company is a self-financing federal crown corporation that specializes in real estate development and attractions management. It reports to the Parliament of Canada through the Minister of Public Services and Procurement. Now, when you think like what, like how are these seven communities and how is this one community going to like interact with each other? How are these two organized or like these seven organizations and this one organization, how are they going to blend together to fulfill what this needs to be, what Kapyung Barracks needs to be if we do decide or if we do gain ownership of these lands? Like, how is this going to happen? Well, together, these two groups hope that the potential redevelopment of these lands has the potential to A, help shape Winnipeg's future urban growth, B, generate significant economic investment, and C, connect communities. And this is exactly what it's all about, right? We want to connect our rural reserves with our urban reserves, but we also want to interact with the non-Indigenous community here in Winnipeg. And I think that's one of the big aspirations of this entire project, is that to live in harmony. I think that's one of the big thing. And also, as I said, there are many ways that this can be done. And some of these ways is by creating green space, having mixed use spaces, residential accommodations. There's also room for shops, restaurants, and of course, showcasing Indigenous culture and art. And we all know that there's tons of amazing artists and designers and beaters and singers and songwriters. There's so many incredible Indigenous people that should be showcased within this space. So in the next episode, we will really, really dive into the master plan, and I will share with you what that looks like, what the future holds, and how this project can change our neighborhoods and our relationships with the city, with this community, with the Indigenous community, with the non-Indigenous community, just how to really build those relationships. And you know what, when you really think about it, what is our lives all about? It's about being there for the people, right? Because the master planning of the former Kapyung Barracks is a landmark project, not only for the Treaty One First Nations, but also for Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Canada. But it's also for our generations to come, the next seven generations, the seven generations after that. So right now, this is our opportunity to create that space that can be shared for many years, for many, many years after this. If you would like to receive updates on the future development of the former Kapyung Barracks, or if you would like to be a part of the mailing list to receive these updates and to receive all the master planning, like all of those things, if you want to receive all those updates, you can always visit our website, treaty1.ca. There is a subscription page where you can sign up, put your email down, you can get all the updates before anybody else. And next episode 3, we're going to talk about more about the master planning behind this entire project. So I want to sit here and I want to thank you, Miigwech Ekwozi, from the bottom of my heart for tuning in for episode 2 of the Treaty One Nation podcast, Gigendamo, in which I want to share knowledge with you about this entire project, because this is about all of us. It's not just about the people working at Treaty One Nation. It's about the residents, the members of Treaty One Nations, about what happens. We also want to say thank you to UMFM for hosting the podcast and to you for listening, Miigwech Ekwozi. Stay tuned for episode 3.